Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. For thousands of years, the sages have known that compassion is a powerful force for good. In the last two decades, compassion scholars caught up with these sages, proving that there is an ROI to building loving communities and businesses. This podcast features leaders who can teach us about the power of compassion. Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. I'm Laurel Donnellan, and I'm the founder of CLC, and I'm so excited to be here today with a guest from Madison, Wisconsin, Lindsay Decker. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for having me this morning. This is lovely.
I am so excited to talk to you, and I think your business name is like the best branding ever. Can you tell everyone the name of your business and what you do?
Sure. I own Madison Dogma, and we are a home boarding and hiking business for canines in the greater Madison area.
And I know you through my friend, Barbara, and she is a customer and a friend of yours, and Betsy is a customer of yours. So this is how we met. I know that you didn't always have your own business. So can we go back a little bit before you had Dogma and just give me the short professional story of Lindsay and what you did before?
Sure. So my BA is in communications and journalism from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. And right out of college, I took a job doing marketing and recruiting for a clinical pharmacology unit on the east side of Madison. After that, I landed as a marketing director for the artisan cheese industry here in Wisconsin. After that, I did some corporate sales and marketing for the Madison Concourse Hotel downtown on the square. So I've had sort of a mix in terms of the industries that I've worked for, but my heart has always been with animals. That's how I guess it kind of went full circle in my life. You know, I grew up with dogs, and that's how I ended up with dogs, I think.
So tell me a dog story from your childhood.
I was the kid in the neighborhood who would pick up every stray dog who had left its yard or who you know, broke off its tether or something. And I would take that dog back home and, you know, knock on the neighbor's door, you know, even if it was three neighborhoods away and they weren't like actively my next door neighbor. I was the kid who was looking at the name tag and saying, okay, I know where this dog belongs. And I would be marching that dog back home. I feel like compassion for animals and just being a little rescuer as a kid was something that was sort of always in me. And my father owned a golf course the majority of my life. So we always had, you know, dogs running around with us, chasing geese off the golf course. They were like there was always an animal that was a very loyal companion growing up. Those are some of my fondest memories as a kid.
We have golf in common, because I always say golf was my family's spiritual path, because my mom and dad met on a golf course.
So yes.
Golf, I wouldn't be here.
Yes, golf is my sport.
I love that dogs have always been a passion and compassion in your life. And I'm curious, how happy were you in a traditional marketing role? Were you happy in your earlier career?
Happy? No, I wouldn't say I was happy. I would say I worked for industries that I found very interesting. So, you know, for instance, when I worked in clinical pharmacology and they were testing the safety and tolerability of new medicines that would eventually go to market. And that was all, you know, via human trials. Super interesting work, you know, to figure out, are these drugs, what, you know, is there some efficacy here? Are they safe? Are they tolerable? Human trials are, you know, how we found out the side effect of Viagra, because that was meant to be a blood pressure medication, things like that. I mean, science, man, that's super interesting to me. I loved that sort of work. But was I happy? No. I mean, that you know, those hours are soul sucking. And, you know, the people you're working with are not always great. Leadership is not always great. And that's something that, you know, is super important to me is leadership and communication. So I love the artisan cheese industry. The cheesemakers in Wisconsin are incredible. I think we have more cheesemakers per capita in Greene County alone than anywhere else in the country. I love cheese. So that was a good pairing for me. I got to do a lot of traveling coast to coast. I did enjoy that job, but it wasn't enriching. It wasn't filling my soul.
Yeah. I mean, I in my work, I talk about bridge work being good work that gets you to soul work, and soul work is the best use of your passion and purpose. Yes. So I feel like you could tell me, it sounds like Dogma is your soul work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find great purpose in working with dogs and in specifically rescuing dogs. So I had been fostering dogs for a very long time. Do you want me to tell you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, a girlfriend of mine, her name is Danielle. She had a dog named Riley who has since passed. He was a big old black lab. And she was going through kind of a pretty wicked divorce and was traveling all the time for her corporate job. So Riley basically lived with me constantly. And she said, you know, you can, this is what you should really be doing in life. You should be watching other people's pets and making money doing it. She is the one who started everything for me. She put it in my head and pushed me to follow my passion. So, you know, with her, she's my best friend. She'd be in Chile and she'd come back with some amazing, you know, alpaca leg warmers for me or something. You know, like, I wasn't getting paid in cash when I watched Riley. It's my best friend's dog. I'm just going to watch her dog, and she brings me cool gifts from her world travels. Great. So she's the one who said, you know, you should set up a Rover account. I said, what's Rover? It's kind of like Facebook, except for pet sitters. And you put your little profile on there and people can search dates that they need pet care in your area. That sort of started this. That is how I got my first connections to people in the Madison area looking for pet care. And because I'd been fostering dogs already for years, I understood the importance of a meet and greet with the client ahead of time, them being able to see me being able to connect with the dog. Is this dog really going to do well at my house? Is this dog who the owners say it is? You know what I mean? There's all sorts of screening you do kind of as a foster parent with potential adoptive parents. So I went about it in the same way when I was, you know, interviewing potential dog candidates to stay in my home.
Yeah, I often tell people, like, nothing, no work experience is wasted. It's all, but you have an opportunity to upcycle it. When you were doing Rover, you're still working in marketing?
Yes, this was a total side gig for me. So I still was doing full-time work. I would watch people's dogs, but I thought, I can do this way better. I had so many community connections already because of working in rescue. So all the dog boutiques in Madison, you know, Bad Dog Frida, Nutsy Mutts, Earthwise, Tabby and Jack's, these are all places that I would be on the weekends with a potentially adoptable dog, meeting and greeting people. All of the Madison festivals and events that the rescue organizations that I had been working for always had us staff a tent and have dogs there and tell people about the work we're doing and why rescue is so important, why adoption is so important. So I just thought to myself, I already have all of these connections. I already know all these people in Madison, not only from my corporate life, from all of those connections that I made during my years in working in corporate marketing, but all of the years now that I've been working in rescue, I've built all of these relationships. So why am I working for Rover? Why are they taking a cut of this? And I'm on an island. If something went down with the dog in my house, I don't have any support. Who am I going to call? No one working for Rover is going to come over and help me sort it out. And I thought, nah, I can build a better business than this with that idea in mind. And so that's how Dogma was born.
And how long ago is that?
2012 is when I started pet sitting. I did it on my own for about 4 years before I started recruiting other rescue colleagues of mine to be contractors for Dogma, where I said, you know, I know she's an amazing handler. I know she's already had 400 foster dogs. She could take anybody's, you know, companion animal into her home and do a lovely job caring for that pet while the family travels. So the last 4 years, it has grown from probably the first 5 rescue colleagues that I invited into the business to now we have almost 50 Dogmas and dog paws in the
That's fantastic. You've grown in a short amount of time.
Yes. I mean, the need, we've grown with the need. I don't know that I saw it getting that big that fast, but the demand is so huge. People are really moving away from kenneling their dog. They want, you know, their dog sleeps in bed with them at home. Why do they want it in a concrete kennel run almost all day long with three potty breaks? Do you know what I mean? With us, we're doing a pre-screening, which we call the intake phone call, which my operations manager, Erica, Dogma Erica, takes care of all of the intake screening. So that way we can properly matchmake you with the Dogma that's going to have a home environment very similar to what you have at home. So that way your dog can be the most comfortable. Nice. So yeah. So if you have kids and other dogs and cats at home and your own dog loves all of that, we're going to pair you with the Dogma who has a very similar environment.
Like match.com for dogs.
Oh, yes.
How lucky they are.
Yeah. And then, you know, we put things that you're not going to get in a kennel setting are, you know, we provide pup dates. So you're going to get text, photos, and videos. Sometimes that's daily. If you're somebody who wants a daily update, folks that have been boarding with us for 8 years don't want daily updates anymore. They're like, my dog is good, see you in a week, you know, and they take off on their trips. So I love that we feel like the next door neighbor, that I should
fantastic.
Feel like, you know, your best friend's daughter or your niece or whatever, somebody very close. We should feel like an extension of your family.
Yeah.
So
I love all the love, Lindsay. Yeah. It just feels like it came out of love. Let me just ask you to go back to that moment where you had the corporate job and you had this idea and you quit your job. Tell my listeners about that. Like, how did you decide it was time to do that?
Oh, well, I didn't decide. I got canned, Laurel. You know what's funny is everybody knew I was building my business, and I think that was part of the excuse behind letting me go, which was just a wonderful kick in the pants because, you know, you always sort of hem and haw, well, am I ready? Am I going to make enough money? Can I replace this corporate salary with something that's going to probably ebb and flow each month depending on high travel needs, you know, for working corporate America, so work travel, as well as when people primarily travel for pleasure during the year, you know, am I going to be able to support that? You know, I'm divorced. I have a 16-year-old daughter now. So, but you know, 8 years ago, she was eight, and I'm thinking about, you know, making sure I can provide for her and have all of our bills paid and have something that's going to be sustaining, you know, emotionally, physically, financially, all of it. So yeah, I remember sitting across from my manager at the time and the general manager. I was like, you guys have a great day. I'm out of here. I said, wow, this is awesome. And, you know, I've had this conversation with my daughter. I said, you should get fired at least once in your life. At least once you should get fired from a job, because it's actually very liberating. And it made me do what I was already doing, but just not fast enough, you know?
Like, yeah. Well, I think I just want to pause here and point out some lessons for people who are sitting at home thinking about leaving their jobs. I think I'm a good career counselor because I've been fired 7 times. So
awesome.
So I feel like sometimes it's the universe doing for you what you can't do for yourself. I also want to point out that Lindsay was building her business while she had a full-time job, while she was taking care of her daughter. And that's not easy, but it's a really great strategy because you weren't without a job and without, you know, a business. You had both.
Which is significantly less scary than wishing you could own your own business, having not started anything, and then getting fired from your job. Yeah. So,
and I've been both places, so I think that it's just a great lesson. I'm curious, Lindsay, in this time of the pandemic and all the, we're talking to you, you're in Wisconsin, there's a lot of unrest in Wisconsin right now, lots of love to you and your other people in Wisconsin. So there's a lot of people, I've been told that a third of Americans have their employment's been affected by this this time in history. So I'm curious if your business has contracted or expanded or stayed the same during this year.
So the boarding side of the business effectively evaporated into thin air as soon as the pandemic hit, which was, of course, right before spring break. We had just gotten back from a family trip from Santa Fe and celebrated my daughter's 16th birthday. And then, all the news from Italy and, in Europe and, get ready, America, it's coming, And then every single booking canceled. And this is, I'm talking 50 Dogma homes, empty, all of it, gone. So, and we're busy 365 around here, but yes, spring break, that's high time. We have a lot more dogs in our home than we might normally, have on a regular day. So we all said, wow, we got to power through this. Now, many of the staff Dogmas do have other jobs, so they were able to rely on that. This is also secondary for the majority of them. For me personally, the hiking side of our business, which my significant other started out in LA in 06, was not really affected at all.
And tell us a little bit more about that, because that's fun.
So Craig, my partner, a life partner and business partner, we met 4 years ago and, fell in love and merged our businesses. But, prior to that, he used to work for the Henry Mancini Institute. He was out in LA. Everybody lost their jobs in 06, and he effectively lived off his severance and started basically shadowing a buddy of his who owned a hiking business and group hiked dogs. So he learned how to do that on his own and then was able to start his own hiking business. He's done that in LA, in DC, in Austin, Texas. He's a Milwaukee boy though, and moved back home to be closer to family after a breakup in a relationship that he was in while he was living in Texas. So I met him when he moved back here, and Dogma was already offering just walking services, drop-in care aside from just boarding. And what a perfect fit to be able to offer group hiking services, which is essentially an alternative to kennel daycare. So dogs that aren't going to be good at just going off to doggy daycare, they go adventuring on hikes with us during the day. So we have a fleet of full-size cargo vans, half ton and one ton vans. So my route is usually about 20 dogs a day. So I pick all of them up, and then we own a hiking property, which is a 12-acre farm that we fenced in over the last few years, and we go exploring together. So we train them in a context of a hike. Like, we're training them to be a group together and socialize together and explore together. So, we hike and we play and we swim and we dig holes and we roll in the mud. And we just do what feels good in nature. So we're nurturing their lives through nature and socialization.
So also, as a business case, it's nice to have different aspects and revenue streams in your business, because one went away and one stayed the same. And how are you doing now, Lindsay? How's Dogma doing?
Although the pandemic is still present, just in the last 4 weeks, I'd say people are starting to go to their family cabin. They're moving around a little. Nobody's getting on a plane and going anywhere. So the length of stays that we're used to seeing are significantly shorter. So we're talking we've got weekend long stays to maybe 5 or 6 nights, when, prior to that, we have folks that go to Europe for a month. I mean, we could have a dog from one night to a month or two. It really just depends on the family and the travel. So the length of stay is significantly shorter. But I am happy to see that people are starting to, venture out a little bit again, that they're feeling kind of safe enough to do that. Even folks that have family in Tennessee, Tennessee and North Carolina, we had clients that went to see, sisters and their nieces and nephews and stuff. So that's nice. So yes, boarding is starting to pick back up slowly but surely. I don't anticipate even the holidays this year being anything like they have been in the past. So, we'll have to see we'll have to see how it goes.
But you're still here, which is fantastic, because I'm talking to a lot of people who've lost their business, which is heartbreaking. So I'm so glad you're still here and you have a future, and you have, and you're certainly in the center of dog heaven, because Madison's very much a dog culture, as you've explained in your story. So what is your long-term vision for your business?
So we're going to start our own rescue, which will be under the, you know, the Dogma brand. I am actively communicating with a firm here in Madison who has a nonprofit attorney who he specializes in it. He's sort of a guru, and I'm super excited to kind of get the ball rolling on that. I would love to be physically saving dogs in early 2021 under our own brand. So just getting the paperwork together to set up the 501c3. And this will be another little sort of shift for the business, but ultimately, I think Craig and I would like to get away from hiking our own groups. We also have two other hiking trainers that work for us who run their own groups. So I think we'd like to hire more people to replace us, because we want to be on the road more with the rescue. So getting a van, getting it set up so that we can sort of live and travel out of it with our own six dogs, and then have a rescue trailer off of that. So we'll be able to travel and see the parts of the country that we'd like to see, and build strategic relationships with shelters in those areas so we can pull dogs back into our program and into our foster homes, which will primarily be our staff Dogmas to start out with. We want to keep it small. We really want quality over quantity in terms of the rescue work we do. But then we'll also give workshops on group handling of dogs while we're on the road. So that'll... Mm-hmm. You know, that'll sort of be in terms of like work and actually making an income will come from workshops. And those can be set up for other dog professionals in areas who just want to take a peek at our perspective on handling groups of dogs, our philosophy on care. We're completely force free. So the way we communicate with dogs is always going to be using body language and energy. We use slip leads. We would never use, you know, a shock collar or a prong collar. There are no forced methods of communication. We just,
so nice.
That's who we are.
That's it. That's an exciting, exciting vision. I love it. So to bring it back to my listeners who might be thinking about having their own business, what is the best thing about being an entrepreneur for you? And what is the hardest thing?
I think the best thing is my ability to control the communications and the vibe and my presence places. I appreciate the relationships that I'm able to build the way I want to build them. For me, it's all about the people. It's about building these relationships with these families and being able to care for their pets. And working with animals and being able to turn that into paid work, you know, like having passion also be able to, you know, support my life is something that's super rewarding to me. Specifically, also having rescue be part of this brand is very important to me. So that's been the most rewarding thing for me. For in terms of challenges, like any small business owner, I mean, you kind of work 24/7. There aren't really days off. When I go, you know, if I'm in the Dominican, I'm still checking my emails and I'm still responding to phone calls and responding to texts. Like there's not really ever a day off. My phone is never shut off. I'm not ever not looking at it. So, but the freedom to be able to travel and work, you know, to be on vacation and still be able to be getting paid is something not everybody has the luxury to do. So I'm very thankful that this business model supports my ability to still travel, which is something that's really important to me too. That's challenging sometimes, you know, especially for my family. You know, we're trying to have dinner. And I'm responding to messages. You know, my parents don't really get it. I'm not sure they even understand how I make a living working with dogs yet. They were like, that's not a real job. I'm like, trust me, it's a real job. We'll, I'll explain it to you another time then, you know? So like, it's taken a while for them to kind of get on board with that. Yeah. They always just anticipated it.
Well, you really are in the hospitality business. I mean, you had some marketing experience with the hotel, but hospitality is 24/7. That's why I left it, because I actually have weekends off now. So I'm just throwing in there, Lindsay's job is 24/7, but you can have your own business and also be off. And I also work with a lot of people who work for companies and they're never off.
Right.
So, but I love what you're up to. I love your vision. I'm so glad I got to spend some time with you today. How do people find out about what you're up to? What's your website?
MadisonDogma.com is our website. So you can go there. Madison_Dogma is our handle on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. So, you know, we're a little bit of everywhere, but if you want, you know, some uplifting pet photos, if you just need a little bit of a mental break from checking in on the world, which is way more important than anything I do for work, feel free to pop on and we have some really great dog videos and photos that, you know, might brighten your day a little. So
great. And if you want to learn more about Pivoting with Purpose and Compassionate Leader Circle, you can go to CompassionateLeaderCircle.com. Thank you, Lindsay. So nice to spend time with you.
Thank you.
And I think you're a great model for anyone that's sitting in a job that they don't like. So maybe you can inspire them to start a side hustle. When I work with adults, I always say, you know, even if you don't think you're an entrepreneur, it's really a good time to just explore that, because you never know when you're going to need another income. So
absolutely.
Thank you for teaching us all about that, and have a good day. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Laurel.
Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com. Please join us each week as we shine a light on compassionate leaders making a positive impact on their communities and the world.